They're bros. They're dads. One is big ball sack Harry J. Riley. The other is cautionary tale Philip Kupczynski. Welcome to Bro Dads.
Yeah, if you say beach hick, that's someone on the the Georgia coast or Florida or
that does.
There's a little coastal area in Alabama. I bet those are some beach hicks.
Oh hell yeah, that's the definition of a beach hick right there.
Yeah, yeah, like dude, can we put these? Can we? We're either riding jet skis on land or four wheelers in the ocean.
I bet you they're the only people who like make a raft with like a door and some old tires.
Push
it out there.
I bet we can make floaties out of these deer entrails. What is that? Some trying to think of different like animals down in that area that would have big enough intestines. Like, I was going to say moose intestines, but then I'm like, I don't think there's any moose down in Alabama.
There's a moose down there. That moose got lost.
Oh, that moose is having a tough time. He's shedding like crazy.
Every time I've ever been close to a moose, it's the most gross thing because they're covered in ticks and stuff. And
oh, yeah, they're gross. Yeah, I guess a moose... It's like it would be like a Canadian in Alabama. They probably did not mean to be there.
Yeah, and they're covered in ticks. Oh man.
Welcome to Bro Dads.
Welcome to Bro Dads, everybody. These episodes are going to be a little shorter because one of us is going to be on the road.
Who's that?
You.
What? Well, next week I'm not going to be.
You're not going to be on the road next week?
No, I'm coming back Sunday.
Yeah, you're going to be on the road this week, and I'm going to be in Vegas next week.
More Vegas.
This is involuntary, this one here. I did not want to go.
Well, but now you want to. Do you think you got the bug now to play the big wheel?
I don't have the bug, but I mean, I will break Vegas again. So, you know, because I have such a foolproof system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
One that, you know, has never been done before, and one that's, you know, ensures a return on my investment, or ROI, as my ebook would suggest. You know, it's not as adventurous as some people go.
What's the game called?
It's called Big Six, or the one that I won so much money on that the Luxor had to bring security to my room just to recount my money. I forgot what the name was. But it's basically Big Six. It's the same. It's basically Russian roulette for dummies, where they take almost all the other numbers off, and they basically leave zero and double zero, and they put 1, 3, 11, 15, 25. And so you just bet on those. And I like it because it's continuous, and you can just sit there and just look at this big screen, and it's not as stressful as being at a real card game.
Right.
You know, like when you're playing blackjack with real people.
You gotta add.
Yeah,
run stats in your head.
Yeah, and people who are really serious about it, they don't want you gambling. They want you.
If you hit at the wrong time and they're like, you took my 10.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to tell my buddies. Like, blackjack is not for someone who is trying to learn it. You don't want to learn it at the casino because those people are sitting and they're like, my rent depends on me getting this 10, and you just took it.
Yeah, I have a good system with blackjack of just losing money slightly slower. And I have a very good system. Never lose. Always win with Russian roulette. And that is instead of bullets, you shove Mike and Ikes in there. And you will never come to the bloody lots of a normal Russian roulette player. That'd be so funny. Like, what do you think the longest streak on Russian roulette is?
What would be the, I bet you the highest streak is like 3.
If it's over 6, you're doing pretty good. Yeah.
If it's over 6, people are going to start getting suspicious.
Yeah. Hey, man, you're not using a real bullet.
This isn't even a real gun.
Well, why don't you give it a whirl? Yeah. You ever seen Deer Hunter?
Yes.
Oh, dude, yeah, that scene where...
Yeah.
Hey. That's why I'm going to Vietnam. Going to Vietnam in September. That'd be so funny. Get off the plane. Where's the Deer Hunter Russian roulette gambling room? They're like, huh?
Isn't it so crazy how movie blood has changed over the years? It was like not a thing. Then it was like too much of a thing in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And then by the time we got the technology to make it look more realistic, we were like,
yeah,
let's just stop.
Yeah, let's chill for a bit. Well, now I feel like there's not enough blood.
Yeah.
Like Wolverine stabs a guy in the guts and you're like, yeah, you have blood on the daggers?
Yes, all those superhero movies. Like when Captain America throws his shield, dude, and it hits everybody in the face, you should see like teeth on it or something.
It's like, I think that's how they keep the PG-13 rating, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably why. But there were times where I was like, come on, man. Because have you seen it's like The Heroes or The Guys on Amazon. It's really super gritty.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of blood in that. Yeah. And it's nice.
Yeah.
That's almost too graphic. There's like maybe some semen if you get into it enough.
But I think that's more realistic. And granted, when I say realistic, I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Within
superheroes, you would think this amount of blood and guts would be just the average day.
If the
Hulk is out there smashing you against the pavement.
Oh, yeah. Brain. I mean, it's some, like, that would be funny in a Hulk movie, like a PG-13 Hulk movie, if he just, like, breaks someone's skull and their brains are squeezing out. They just use that one scene. You're watching it, you're like, why isn't this PG? And just horrific violence, him ripping a head off and the blood spurting everywhere.
I think that's why, The Machine got the R rating, was just for one scene.
Oh.
It was just one scene, and they were like, violence. That's R. We can't. Because everything else was pretty, you know.
I love violence in a comedy.
I love it, man.
It's
especially
great.
If it's over the top. Because that's what I liked about The Machine. It was over the top to the point where even if you got the kids from Columbine to sit down and watch this movie, they'll be like, well, this is unrealistic. Nobody has that much blood in one human body.
Yeah, Pineapple Express was like it's fun. It's fun.
See, man, a lot of people talk about movies during that time and how, you know, when you look back at them, they're kind of, when you look at them from a modern lens, they might not hold up. But Pineapple Express still holds up.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not the part where he's dating like a girl in high school, but that's actually realistic in real life. Drug dealers usually are dating young girls in high school.
Yeah, I forgot about him dating the girl in high school and just picking her up. And oh my God, that is so funny.
And they made, I think, you know what? I think Rogan was ahead of his time as far as making modern comedies. I think that's why they were so popular, because they were kind of modern back then. Whereas, you know, they weren't leaning, because a lot of comedies, if you go back and watch them, really heavy on homophobia.
Yeah.
Really, you know, like really like, that's a big bitch. I remember.
A lot of fat jokes, a lot of gay jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he. And what's funny is he wrote a lot of what we know as Seth Rogen's material. He wrote as like a teenager.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. So he's like,
which is so insane to me when you hear the backstory on these, like, yeah, I ripped Pineapple Express when I was 13. It's like, what the fuck? Man, these people are not normal. I think that's why they're kind of over. They're like the new generation of the Hollywood elites that are, because like Seth Rogen, man, that dude is executive producing all kinds of shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's no dummy. I mean, you got to be pretty smart to be writing full scripts at age 16, 15.
I mean, I wrote a full script when I was 14 called D-Train, but it was not good. I wouldn't, you know, if you took that script and tried to make it today, you would be like, why is Angelina Jolie
having a D-Train run on her? The D stands for diss.
She fucked a lot of black guys in my street. Yeah. God damn it.
You
can
just cast me as the guy who watches.
She's so dangerously thin now. I looked her up a couple months ago and I was like, damn, just because I remember, you know, late 90s, 2000s, I was like, I got to make it in Hollywood just so I can see her butthole. Because there's no, I need this woman in my life. But now I'm like, oh, fuck. She needs me so she can fucking gain some weight.
Yeah, when the head starts to become, like when it's like bobbleheadish.
Yeah.
That is weird. Yeah. That is a weird level of weight loss. I mean, I get it. You know, you look, you know, people look better when they're skinny, mm-hmm. but boy, it's that when's the like point of no return? You know, like I saw this rescue. Okay. I just saw this like a video that was supposed to be sad today about like a rescue dog that was a Great Dane. And it was like, he only weighed 90 pounds, but he should be weighing 160.
Holy fuck.
And then it was like, this 11-year-old Great Dane was so underweight. And I was like, 11 years old? Holy, a Great Dane made it to 11 years old? Maybe all these other Great Danes are just fat asses killing themselves with kibbles or whatever. Maybe we need to be starving more Great Danes. I was like, an 11-year-old Great Dane? That's like the equivalent. That's like, this 110-year-old is underweight. You're like, that 110-year-old should have died 20 years ago. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was like, we've moved the BMI index for dogs. It's just so we feel better about how fat we are.
Man, I was talking to my buddies, and they were talking about how black kids now have just gotten bigger than when we were growing up. And I was like, dude,
I think it might be all kids.
Yeah, I think it's just all kids, man, are just larger.
Yeah. No, yeah, man. When I dropped my son off to college, I was like, I don't know if all these kids are going to make it through college. this is the first graduating class where they're going to be like, when they're chugging, it looks like it's probably like maple syrup or milkshakes. I was like, this is insane. Like, you guys, I mean, these kids, I could not believe it. Like, I remember when I went to college, I was like, everyone's so hot. This is so intimidating.
Yeah.
As a 43-year-old man dropping my son off to college, I was like, these 20-somethings are so ugly. I'm the hottest one here. I mean, outside of the varsity football team, I was like, it was funny because a lot of the guys were, I mean, they were, granted, they were skinny kids. They were skinny, in-shape kids. But I was surprised. I mean, like, his elevator in his dorm has a tough time, and I think it's because a lot of these fatties. It's like it hits a roll. It's like, I was like, I know what happened. It's they're coming in. It used to be freshman 15. I think it's now freshman 50. Okay, so you go to an elementary school, and this is funny because my dad pointed this out to me years ago.
Yeah.
Because he was like, he goes, I don't know. When I was young, there was like one fat kid in the school.
Yeah.
And then he heard like at the elementary school, he's like, they're everywhere.
Why is your dad like this, man?
Dude, it was so funny. He's like, they're everywhere. And it was funny because then it was fun. I mentioned that to a teacher and she was like, your dad's right.
I mean, yeah, he was, because yeah. there was one fat kid in I can't remember his name, but you know, he was just fat and like his shoes was like all bent, you know, up because he was walking all weird and
yeah.
You know, and you were like, well, I mean, he's not gonna make it that long, but at least, you know, he's gonna have a.
What's funny is every fat kid that was like elementary school fat, now, as adults, are like some of the most in shape kids. At least yep. The kids that I went to school with.
Yeah,
there was one gal. I don't know what she's up to now. She was a grade or two ahead of me in third grade. She was like in fourth grade. Everyone called her Kylie the Cow.
Oh shit!
Everyone called her Kylie the Cow. And at one time, our third grade teacher was like, "All right, can we think? Let's think of names to start with K." And people were like, "Kylie the Cow." Good. And she wrote Kylie, and then the whole class started going, the cow.
God damn.
So she was like, okay, you guys are silly. And she wrote Kylie, the cow. I don't know if she realized it was about that everyone, and then everybody was like, yeah, when she wrote cow after
is
Kylie.
Is she dumb?
The girl was not in the classroom. She was in the grade ahead of us.
Oh, okay.
But we were all like, it was so funny because it was like we did it. We got to. And it was like an elderly teacher. So I don't know if she really knew that that's what it was, like an elderly British teacher.
She probably knew. She was just like, you know what?
She might. Yeah.
I'm going to give these fucking kids what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she kind of didn't give a shit. You know? Yeah. So, but yeah, it's funny because when you look back at people in the 70s, you're like, God, everyone's so thin. It's like, yeah, but they were probably all coked up and now they got like heart problems in their 50s. Yeah. But when you look back at people in the 20s and they're like really thin, they're like so thin, they're like shorter. Like their bones didn't grow as long because they weren't eating. It's like you got to find this somewhere in the middle where like, well, we want to feed these kids enough so their bones grow to the proper length. But,
a lot of people want to say like, oh, it's because these kids are on their iPads and stuff. Or, you know, their parents don't tell them to go outside. And we talked about a little bit in other episodes, but it's a combination of things. You know, it could be technology that keeps kids inside, but it could also be that the wonderment like that we had as kids.
Yeah.
That, and I saw it with my own daughter where I went outside because there was nothing else to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But when video games became a thing, I stayed in more and more, but I still went outside. But I also lived in an area where there wasn't people just snatching kids up and fucking them in the butt.
Well, yeah, you were. You just didn't hear about it.
Yeah, I was too ugly to get fucked in the butt.
Dude, that's the thing is child abductions have actually gone down considerably since like 1980.
I can see why.
I think it's probably because people talk about it endlessly, you know.
When people were not talking about it and not like it wasn't on the news, it wasn't advertised.
Yeah.
Kids were just getting snatched up left and right, and people were just like,
well, news wasn't happening all the time, too.
Yeah.
It was like, well, news was for half an hour. Yep. They advertised it. It was just on milk cartons.
Yeah. And that's an interesting thing, because that happened during the great kid. I call it the great kidnappings of the 80s, when it was two kids, Johnny Gosch and another one, that got kidnapped. They ended up being on the milk cartons the first time. Kind of like as just a random, because that was the first time milk cartons were starting to be made.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, what do we put? Should we put ads on this? And somebody was like, this kid from my town is missing. Let's put that on. And then they put that on and it caught on like wildfire.
But because so many people drink milk, you know, why not? And you can racially code it.
So the chocolate milk got brown. Yeah. What does the strawberry milk have then?
Native Americans.
God damn it. But it went away so fast because people were sitting, you know, they're sitting there at the dinner table. They're eating breakfast, and then they're like, oh, yeah, the fucking kid's still missing.
Do you think it was like the early Amber Alert? Like, they were just like, this is inconvenient.
That's exactly.
And they're just turning like milk carton away.
That's exactly what it was. We think we're doing something good, but then after a while, just like with everything, people start getting comfortable, and they find it as an annoyance more than, you know, like a thing to act on.
Man, have you ever got the gray ones? Or the, what are they called, silver alerts?
Oh, the yeah.
Because, do the silver alerts, are you kind of like, they'll be fine?
Man, I'd be like, man, fuck that old bitch.
Well, there is an aspect you're like, no one's probably going to molest.
Yeah, nobody's molesting that old
man. Yeah, no one's molesting this old man who stole the Lincoln Continental or whatever.
Yeah, he's out in the woods in his underwear. Let him hang out. It's summertime. He ain't going to get freezing.
He's not going to die.
Yeah. Shit, he's probably riding a bear. Bears and old people get along great.
There's a lot of shade around here. He'll be fine.
And then, even if it is a kid, I'm like, I've been in the house all day. Unless that fucking kid is on my porch.
Oh, yeah, right.
I can't help you at all.
Yeah. You could argue that if you're like... if you're like a waitress at Denny's,
yeah,
maybe that's it. Maybe we should just be alerting all the Denny's waitresses.
Yes, because it seems like if you kidnap a kid,
that you got to stop at a Denny's for some reason. Yeah. let all the Waffle House and Denny's waitresses know.
Man, oh, how was Panita?
Oh, yeah. Did the final Comedy Avalanche. Great. It was the best show of the season, for sure.
Oh, man. That's great.
Yeah, Greg Beechler came down. He knocked it out of the park.
All right.
Had Aaron Woodall.
Yeah.
Yeah, he...
That's fucking crazy to have Aaron.
Yeah, he came up and did it. And then Landry, I mean, he's doing great, man. I mean, he crushed. And it was a great show. A few less people. We still had quite a few people. But I think it got so rowdy in February that I think they turned off quite a few return guests for sure. Yeah, just because the lady got so drunk because I got like at least 10 emails of people being like, I'm never coming back. I love the show, but if you can't handle these drunk audience members, it's not worth it.
Well, shit, man. I feel like if that's something that you're willing to type, then that's something you're willing to see if it, you know, if it's actually been worked on.
Yeah.
If you say I'm not coming back and then don't come back, then it's like, why write the email?
Yeah, right. I know. That's what. So that I don't even want to deal with it. I don't think I'm going to do it next year.
Really?
Yeah. If I do, I'm probably only doing one show. But I just.
I mean, because it seemed like. I mean, other than you know, having to do this build up for 3 months straight.
Yeah, yeah.
It seemed like they were successful.
Yeah, they were, but it's a big risk, you know? So it's like, all it's going to take is one to tank.
Yeah.
That could really be like the Tiger King. Like, this is it to me financially. Is it...
I mean, you could still do one that's, you know, like a big blowout and it could still, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think if I do one, I might do one, but it's... It's just, it's a lot more fun to produce. It's just from a solely producing standpoint, granted I'm emceeing it, it kind of ruins comedy in a weird way. Because like normally, like if you're a comic on a show and you see a comic say some crazy shit and the audience is like, yo,
yeah.
There's a lot of times if that's happening, I'm in the back like, fucking awesome. like the guy in front of me says some crazy shit, I'm just like, this is nuts.
Yeah, that's a comic's response.
Yeah, as a producer, it kind of ruins it because I'm like,
Yeah.
We're going to have upset customers. Like, you just turn into a total dweeb. That's why, I mean, I think it's almost impossible. I mean, I think, now, granted, if I'm producing for myself, I'm way more of the comic mentality if I'm headlining. Yeah. But if I'm, if I'm producing, especially if I'm, like, putting a lot into it financially.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, dude, if you own a club or are just trying to be a comedy producer, like, bro, you got just stop being a comic.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, it's just amazing the difference it makes when people give up the dream of comedy, how much better they are.
Just on the basis of time management.
Yeah. Well, and also, like a lot of times, like I'm going to MC this show for the 50th time this year.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, like putting yourself into the different positions of comedy. I just think you're getting your own name out there a lot.
Yeah.
Should we pause this or end it? You want to just pause it? We're only 25 minutes. I have chicken that I've brined for 24 hours.
Okay.
That I need to pull out. I think we could just pause it real quick.
No, this is the end of the first episode.
This is the end of the first episode. all right. This episode will be called Fat Kid.
I got a title.
No. We're almost there. let's see. How about diabetic toddlers? No, wait. God damn it. Morbid munchkins. I mean, we... okay.
God damn it.
All right. Okay. Yeah, let's call this. We'll be a short episode. Listen, if you are enjoying these, tell your friends, tell your grandmother, tell your sister, tell your cousin.
Tell your fat ass cousin.
Tell your 10-year-old fat ass kid too.
Yes, he can download on his fat ass iPod.
All right. See you later.
See you later, bitches.